Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about a very saddening, painful phenomenon, anti-Semitism and anti-Israelism. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, the State of Israel has many enemies for different reasons, for political reasons, because of our attitude towards the Palestinians, and along with it, there is anti-Semitism that's on the rise in the United States, but you can also see it in other places in the world. It was actually always there, but now there's a surge in anti-Semitism. Now, in parallel with this, we see that the U.S. government is more supportive of Israel. So, on the one hand, you have greater support from the United States, and on the other hand, you have a surge in anti-Semitism. And what we would like to understand is there some kind of a correlation between these two phenomena? And the question that I'd like to open with is, how is it that we have the U.S. government that is more supportive of the State of Israel? And on the other hand, you have anti-Semitism in the U.S. that's on the rise. I don't think that there is any correlation between these things. But it all depends on the extent to which we're connected or not connected. Abraham, our patriarch, he collected, he gathered representatives from all the different nations that lived in ancient Babylon and connected them above all of their differences. Biological differences, cultural differences, they were very different. And he connected them by the method of love another as thyself, where they have attained a force which is above the human ego, each above himself, and all of us together, and built a society which is based on love another as thyself, to be as one man and one heart. And since then, and to this day, that group exists, meaning that we, the people of Israel today, are the representatives of the 70 nations of the world, and each of us, there is something that's different from the others. And above that, we're connected above all of these differences, and to this day, this connection dwells upon us, resides in us, and keeps us together. And this act that Abraham carried out, it's interesting that it's working to this day for 3,500 years, where there are no longer any Egyptians or the ancient Greeks or the Persians. And since then, everyone changed so many times. We exist, and that's that. And we ourselves would even want to escape the whole matter, and we can't. So there is a certain force that comes from the depth of nature that keeps us and does not allow us to escape, because we're connected with each other, and all of us are called the people of Israel. Furthermore, all of the nations of the world that since ancient Babylon dispersed all around the world, they point at us and say, these Jews, they're unique. There's something special about them. And why are we special? Because we're really the representatives of all of those nations, and we're connected. And they blame us for how is it that you connected in a good and nice way that allowed you to survive for really 3,500 years. There's nothing like it in history. No nation lives for so long. There's a period for each and every nation. For a nation that is born, develops, grows older, and disappears, like in a person's life, But here, no, it's an eternal phenomenon. And so actually, what do they want? They want for us to perform that same connection on them. Back then, we understood that we have to connect. We came to Abraham, and he connected us. And they, for 3,500 years, along with us, they went through different events, crises, where to this day that we're living in a global integral world, in a small village, in mutual hatred, where we're trying to build ourselves with the help of the UN, UNESCO, different efforts, nothing works. The hatred is growing, not allowing us to connect, and it's really stealing all of our forces. Were it not for the hatred, for the arms race, look what we're doing. So, were it not for that, we would really prosper as a humanity. It would have been heaven. And therefore, all of humanity has complaints against us. They don't exactly understand this, but from within, from nature, there's this demand. Where is this connection that all of us can achieve in order to bring ourselves to the perfect, best possible state? Half of humanity are starving to death. The other half don't know what to do with all of their money. Half are ill and dying. The other half, everything's fine there. Were we correctly connected, it would have been dispersed among everyone, and everyone would live a good life. And therefore, we're in their sights. And all of humanity, by their hatred towards us, are actually directing us and pressuring us for us to really solve the problems of anti-Semitism. Why do they hate us? And they hate us because of that. Neither historians nor psychologists understand this phenomenon. There are those that say because of Jesus, because of other things, it's all incorrect. The reason is much deeper. It's not an ideological, petty reason because of this or that religion. South Korea hates us, even though that we have no connection to their religion. And the Chinese started hating us. Any nation, any people that develops, that their ego develops to a certain degree, they start hating us. They become anti-Semitic, even though that before there was nothing. For example, all those nations that never had any contact with us, and today, when they grew to a certain extent, their ego grew to a certain extent, they start hating us. Grew how? Grew in their development, prosperity. They feel that the ego is working, their ego is working among them, separating them, and not allowing them to live their life in a good way. And therefore, in general, we have no remedy for anti-Semitism or anti-Israelism, but to bring ourselves to a state where we have to become the light onto the nations, give them the method of correction. That's all that the world needs. We're living in such an era that soon we won't have to work at all. Everything's going to be done by machines. We will only have to be connected to work at our connection. This is what people are going to do. And then anti-Semitism and anti-Israelism will stop. You said that they have us in their sights. So I'd expect them to have both the U.S. Jews in their sights and also the Jews here in Israel. But we see something completely different, that on the one hand, in the diaspora, anti-Semitism is on the rise, and on the other hand, there's a better attitude towards Israel. So how do you explain this phenomenon that on the one hand, there's a surge in the hatred towards Jews in the diaspora, and on the other hand, there's a good kind of attitude developing towards our country. Sorry for saying so, but this is a lie. It's not that you investigated it, but you're telling us about something that you feel from the public in Israel and from what you read in the papers. All the countries hate the state of Israel. And I talk to our representatives, those that work overseas. It is all incorrect. What they want is to be in touch with us because we're a prospering country with high tech and with many innovations and medicine. And so they want to be in contact with us. But it's not that they like us or respect us, but they disrespect us, and they use us. And everyone writes about it. Bala Sulam writes about it. Anti-Semitism is a natural phenomenon which is ceaseless and that exists alongside the people of Israel all the time until they complete their role. Isn't Trump bringing a new attitude towards Israel? Trump is using this lever called anti-Semitism and the state of Israel for his own purposes, bringing us to the peak of human development. Is not his goal. But it's good for him to use it. He respects Jews because he knows what a developed nation they are. Prosperous, innovative, bring good results to the world. He already said it a few years ago that I like for them to keep my money because they know what to do with it. This is exactly his approach. This is what he said. I like to keep my money with these people that wear yarmulkes. It's a good approach. It's correct. He appreciates that we're smart, that we know how to achieve the goal, that we're persistent, and that it's good to be connected with us somehow, but that's it. Is there a difference, in your opinion, between the way the world treats the Jews in the diaspora and the way the world treats the Jews in Israel? There's a difference because these Jews and those Jews are different. It's not that the world is maybe looking at us differently. A Jew is a Jew in the eyes of some non-Jew that lives in Australia or wherever. But there is a difference between those that live in the state of Israel that are more or less, and there are those that want to run away. I met them in the U.S. and in different other countries. It's unpleasant to look at them. When they come to settle down in some place, you see something rotten about them. Rotten. Rotten, meaning how? On the one hand, they're ashamed. On the other hand, they have to justify themselves. On the other hand, they want to be more American than Americans, and so they assimilate as much as they can. Their children don't speak Hebrew. And of course, they're not connected to religion, even if they were a bit traditional or something. And the next generation, because they want to clean themselves of their Israelism and they want to be American, they start hating Israel. They develop hate towards Israel, yes. And they don't want to be connected to Israel at all. I gave them lectures. I talked to them with the second generation, those that are the second generation in America that don't speak Hebrew. I talk to them in English, and they don't want to know about Israel. They don't want to know about Jews. They hope that in one generation they'll totally assimilate and become like everyone. They are all in favor that society, black, red, yellow, white, for all of them to be together, pluralism. They don't want to go in the direction of any religion or nationality, but they want this salad that exists in America, but for it to be a salad that includes everyone. And of course, they don't understand that it's impossible to attain that. On the contrary, the more the ego develops, the more it will differentiate the different races, nationalities. And again, because they are the representatives of the 70 nations, where there was something that connected them above the differences of the 70 nations, and that difference, meaning that connection between them, was destroyed. And then you see Jews and Jews and Jews. Why aren't you connecting? Why should I connect with him and him and him? Meaning, they all feel that they don't belong to the same kind, because what remained in them are the 70 different roots, and the root that connected them disappeared, the one that Abraham arranged. So again, how does the world look at Jews in the diaspora and in Israel? They're disregarded one way or another. No one wants to connect with them, only because they buy this connection for big money. But really? In time, unless we correct this distortion, deviation, that we have to bring the method of connection to all of humanity, they'll be hated and found everywhere. This is the attitude towards the Jews in the diaspora. Yes, and what is the attitude of the world towards the Jews that live here in Israel? It's a bit different. Different how? First of all, they need us. It's good to be in touch with us. As much as they can use us for their own benefit. We're talking about inventions, medicine, all the achievements. So everyone wants to use our achievements. Just like now, that high-tech company was sold for $15 billion. Everyone's talking about it. It's the biggest purchase ever made. Yeah, every time we sell something new. Yeah. So this is an example. Now, because of that, they don't really want to grow apart from us. But undoubtedly, that if there are such countries in the world that the world would like for them to cease to exist, we are in the first place. No one is happy that we're carrying on. And on the contrary, were we to disappear off the map, everyone would actually be content with it. Really content with it. Happy. And therefore I'm saying that the UN, that in 1947 decided that, yes, we will make a place for the State of Israel, today, no one. Maybe the U.S. because of their politics or something, but besides the Americans, I don't know who else, would vote for us. No nation. Because we see that really 200 countries all at once raise their hands in favor of the resolutions against us. The main complaint against the State of Israel and its behavior is that it's an apartheid state towards the Arabs that live here. And this is something that you can accuse only the Jews that live here in Israel with, not the Jews that live in the diaspora. And this is actually the main anti-Israeli argument. This is something that I don't understand, because the Arabs, they are equal citizens, besides those territories that they call them the occupied territories. But the Arabs that live inside the state of Israel, they have a passport, an ID card, they vote. They have equal rights. Education, work, medical care, for everyone. Okay, maybe here, inside the state of Israel, but our attitude as a conqueror. So, we're saying, please, let's not conquer, let's find a solution. I don't want to get into the political details. It's not about that. We are ready to stop the conquering. If this is how they define it, I agree, conquering. But we can't leave this area, because tomorrow the Hamas will be sitting there with all of their missiles, and the next day we won't exist. This is clear. Let's not get into the different details of the Israeli-Palestinian dispute. As you said, were the UN to vote on it, everyone would be glad to get rid of the state of Israel. What's your argument? Because the state of Israel are a racist country, and so on and so forth. Because of our attitude towards the Palestinians. And this is where the anti-Israelism comes from. Not anti-Semitism or anything else. How do you look at these things from a broader perspective? Is the hatred towards the Israeli politics a new creature that was born in the last decades? Or is it connected to that historical hatred that's been accompanying us for generations? Both exist.
Okay.
So, if both exist, and there's anti-Israelism because of our policy, then there will be those who'd say, let's change our policy and everything's going to be great. We're willing. Will it happen? I don't know. Depends on the other side. We want just one thing, for there to be no arms there. I'm not talking about the other side. I'm talking about the world's attitude towards us. The world doesn't want to understand it. They say, you're conquerors. That's it. Leave. And suppose we leave. Suppose we leave. How will the world treat Israel tomorrow? We can see how it worked out with our neighbors. So things are going to turn out bad. Yeah? I'm asking about the world. How will they treat us? The world would treat us with regular anti-Semitism, not wanting to hear our arguments. Were we to leave and give them a country, and so on? Would the anti-Israelism stop? Yes. And then, what would we be left with? We wouldn't be left, because we'd have a security problem. Of course, none of us would be left here. I understand the world's short-sightedness. They don't want to see anything which is for the benefit of the Jews, and this is why they say what they say. They don't understand that the Arab side doesn't want any change in the current status quo. They don't want it. They're getting billions, they're dividing it amongst them, and they're well off. Why doesn't the world want to see anything that's for the benefit of the Jews? Because the Jews hold the method of connection, that the world is suffering only because of the lack of connection, and so it follows that the world is suffering because of the Jews that are not carrying out their role. Because to begin with, we got the method of connection from Abraham, in order to later on realize it in the world, to be light onto the nations. And what does that have to do with anti-Israelism? Who is the state of Israel? The state of Israel are those Jews that have to show the world the method of connection, that the state of Israel has to set an example for the rest of the world, to show how it's possible to build a nation and a state by the method of connection in a good and nice way. And what do we excel in? and developing different gadgets, medicine. No one takes that into consideration. So were we to give the Palestinians everything that they want, everything that the world wants us to give them, would the state of Israel be in the place that the world subconsciously wants to see them in? No, this isn't what the world is expecting of you. What they're expecting of you is the method of connection, for you to realize it on yourself and to show everyone an example, which is called light unto the nations, and so that everyone can come to you and learn how to do it and implement it on themselves. So suppose we were to give them everything that they want. Forget about the Palestinians, forget about politics, forget about anti-Semitism abroad and wherever. It's not important. What is important? For the people of Israel to unite. For us to publicize it, and so that everyone will understand that by this we reach a general solution. So you're saying that what we have to actually give the world is an example of how can a country or a nation be connected? How can the world become an integrally connected global village? For all of us to be connected as one family. The Torah talks about it. Nature is pushing us in that direction. This is the future of the world, and we have to realize it. So what should Israel do for anti-Israelism to come to an end? To give an example of the good, nice, and warm connection between all of those Jews that are the representatives of the 70 nations of the world, for them to connect, and then the entire world will start connecting. But isn't it racist that only the Jews should start connecting? Why? Because it's only between the Jews. No, because we're the representatives of the 70 nations of the world, of the entire world, that if we'll do it, it'll spread on to them too, and they'll be able to also realize it. What does a connected world feel like? Like one family. All of the nations, everyone as one. And this ideal picture, is it supposed to come true or is just a vision? Nature is pushing us towards that because it's a part of nature's plan. In a good way, in a bad way, we have to come to that. And it has to happen. We're living in the times of realization. Last question, Dr. Leitman. What can make this anti-against us go away? Nothing. Only this. Nothing else will help. You try different things in history, nothing will help. Only to realize this. It exists in nature, and therefore, this is the only thing that can erase anti-Semitism altogether and help the world become a family. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.